Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. This month, the EPA unveiled its new proposal for regulating so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. These new enforceable limits on PFAS chemicals would be much stricter than the maximum contaminant levels Delaware had been considering. But enforcing these new limits, if finalized, will come with a cost, as water companies are required to test to make sure their water is in compliance, and if not, treat it. This week, contributor John Hurdle looks at how much that cost could be and who will pay in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me earlier this week to discuss what he learned. So let's get people up to speed. What is the EPA proposing, and how much stricter are these new proposed regulations than what we've seen so far in Delaware and elsewhere?
Well, the big news last week was that the EPA proposed regulating six kinds of PFAS chemicals for the first time. So, and this was an important move because advocates for tougher regulation of these so-called forever chemicals have been saying for a long time that there needs to be a national standard in order to protect public health. And probably the most prominent part of what EPA proposed was for two very strict limits for two commonly found PFAS chemicals, namely PFOA and PFOS. And what they proposed is that those should be in public water systems at levels no greater than 4 parts per trillion, which is very, very low. It's much lower than any state has independently regulated these chemicals so far, and certainly much lower than the 21 and 14 parts per trillion, respectively, that has been proposed by Delaware.
So why so low? Why is the EPA really tightening up the restrictions on these chemicals?
Well, I think this is a sign that the EPA takes the public health threat of these chemicals in public drinking water systems very seriously. There's been, as has been shown by the increasing number of states independently regulating these chemicals in recent years, there's a great deal of concern about the effect that they have on public health. And there's a long list of serious illnesses that are linked to these chemicals. Some cancers, developmental problems in young children, reduced response to vaccine, vaccines, elevated cholesterol, and the list goes on and on. The EPA is saying they're just really no acceptable level of these chemicals in public drinking water. And it's worth noting here that they EPA also has this thing called the maximum contaminant limit goal, which is in the case of carcinogens like PFOA and PFOS, is actually zero. But the EPA says, well, we can't require water systems to reduce these levels actually to zero because we don't have the technical ability. And so we're going to set a level that is as close as possible to zero. And that's why they've come up with this 4 parts per trillion.
So to enforce these limits, testing and treatment needs to be done by water companies providing water. Is there a sense what the cost of that might look like and how it's going to be paid for?
Well, according to one estimate that I've heard, and that's from Dr. Jerry Kaufman, who is the director of the University of Delaware's Water Resources Center, a longtime advocate for a strong regulation of these chemicals, he says that it's probably going to cost drinking water utilities tens of millions of dollars in order to install the filtration that will allow them to comply with these new EPA limits, which, by the way, are still proposals. They're not finalized yet. Although the EPA is hoping to get that done by the end of this year.
So what are Delaware's water companies saying? Obviously, the cost initially would be to them. Oftentimes, we see utilities pass that cost on to customers. Do we know how they're looking at this, how much they might pass on the customers, and what other options they might have?
We don't know how much they might pass on to customers. There is a great deal of federal money available for cleaning up PFAS and other kinds of so-called emerging contaminants. There's one of these streams of funding, if you like, is comes through the bipartisan infrastructure law, and that is I was hearing from DENREC that provides $7.6 million a year for 5 years for the treatment of emerging contaminants, including PFAS, of course. And in addition, there is around about $500,000 a year for addressing the contaminants in wastewater systems. So, there is a significant addition of federal funds which can be made available to help utilities with the very large bills here. But some folks are saying that, well, you know, however much federal money there is, it's actually not going to be enough, and so inevitably, ratepayers are likely to be saddled with some of the bill.
And I think your story also knows that there is some state money as well, correct, that could offset some of this cost, but not a huge amount.
Yeah, that's right. The state operates this thing called the State Revolving Fund, and that helps with water quality improvements. And so that is another possible source of help for the utilities.
Would it wait until these rules are finalized for the companies to think about changing their rates for customers, or is it something that they're already kind of looking at?
The timing here is not clear, but one of the things that we have found is that from the Delaware Public Service Commission, which of course determines whether utilities can adjust their rates. What I'm hearing from the PSC is that three Delaware utilities have indicated that they're going to file so-called rate applications this spring. I mean, they haven't said why, and the chief executive of the PSC is saying, well, that, you know, that if and when those applications are filed, then they'll determine how much of them, if anything, is related to comply with these new strict PFAS levels. But it seems at least possible that that's going to be one of the motivations.
Are there any indications of how this might play out from companies operating in other states where they've already had to kind of start meeting tighter PFAS standards that were implemented by the states themselves?
Well, indeed. I spoke with one major utility, Aqua, that operates in 8 states, including Pennsylvania and New Jersey. What they tell me is that they have estimated that it's going to cost about $1 million per system in order to comply with these new federal regulations. And the total tab, according to the president of that company, is estimated to be $250 to $300 million. You mentioned states which already have their own regulation of these chemicals. And one of those, of course, is New Jersey. And New Jersey has become known as one of the national leaders in regulating these chemicals. But what I'm hearing from folks is that even though those levels and the same would have applied to Delaware's level as well, even though those levels are seen as being protective of public health, they're seen as being not protective enough of public health, which explains why the EPA has pushed the level down yet further.
And we had even reported earlier that the state here in Delaware, when it paused its work on this because of the EPA announcement, had suggested that they would probably have to rethink them anyway, even if they wanted to go forward and have something in place in case the EPA rules aren't finalized or ever get rolled back, that they would probably, based on what we're seeing, have to reconsider what they were putting out there right now.
Indeed. Yes, that's right.
John, I mean, you've reported on PFAS testing here in Delaware previously, and obviously that's a big piece of this, is knowing exactly how much is in the water currently. What do we know right now about testing and the status of the state's drinking water relative to these proposed EPA standards? Does Delaware appear to have a lot of work to do in this area or not?
Well, I think the answer to that is that it's mixed. I I've had some data from the University of Delaware. They went out at the end of 2021 and tested five sites on four waterways in Delaware, the Christina River, Brandywine Creek, and a couple of other creeks. And what they found is that the levels of PFOS, one of these two chemicals, would have met the federal standards at that time. However, only one of those five sites actually would have met the federal standard for the other main chemical, PFOA. And so, you know, clearly there's some work to do on the basis of those results. At least the record, Delaware's record, is not too bad, but they still have a way to go.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time on The Green this week. His piece on the costs associated with enforcing the EPA's proposed PFAS limits in drinking water is available at DelawarePublic.org. Up next, we continue our look at what the world of NIL deals in college athletics looks like at the University of Delaware. This week from the perspective of a student athlete and a coach. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.